Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is coming up on 410, 82 degrees on this Tuesday, April 29th. And like every Tuesday, we have Tuesdays with Tommy. Tommy Marquez is a Navy veteran. He was a senior staffer in Congress for many years. And now he gives us the story on our veterans and the information we need to navigate a lot of those systems. Tommy, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were traveling about. I did see the picture. You're a brand new papa again, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But you sent me a whole plethora of stuff to talk about today. Let's get started on that. A lot of information here.
Yeah, a lot of things are coming out right now for veterans. They're going to be starting to come out in the next couple of months. And I kind of want to go over some of them briefly if I could. Real quick, there is going to be a new Supreme Court ruling on combat-related special compensation pay and essentially a six-year rule for back pay. So when you apply for combat-related special compensation pay, this is for military service members who are both hurt due to a service-connected disability as an instrument of war. So this means it has to be directly related to war, training for war, or an instrument of war. And you get retirement pay. You could have a portion of that become tax-free, or you could receive both your VA pay and your service-connected disability in some circumstances. However, when you apply for a CRSC, the combat-related special compensation portion of it, it backdates with a maximum of 6 years. Now, based on the remarks that we've already seen and the arguments that were presented orally in the Supreme Court, it does not look good for military service members getting an exemption and them being able to go past the six-year ruling. Both Justice Sotomayor and Justice Alito were not keen on it. They seem to have disagreements with what was being presented to them. Additionally, you know, the Supreme Court is about 50-50 when it comes to ruling on veterans' benefits. I've reported on your show, Rob, in the past, while veterans got the surprise that some of their GI Bill was going to be restored, their post-9/11 GI Bill credits, they also were equally shocked that there was an incident where a man who was in a coma for 20 years applied for VA service-connected disability, saying it should be awarded for back pay because he got in the coma. He fell in the coma while on active duty, was separated, and he had been in a coma for years and was unable to apply due to his medical state. And in that ruling, the Supreme Court was unanimous that he had no availability or no reasoning where he should get it back pay because he simply didn't apply, even though he was medically, you know, unavailable because he was in a coma, which is extremely ridiculous. But this goes to my point that we're always talking about, Rob, about when it comes to veterans hesitating to apply for their service-connected disabilities. I tell people, or any benefits for veterans and military families, apply right away. I can't stress this enough. Don't leave it in the hands of courts and years to go by where you have to sue. Apply right away. Learn your benefits and apply immediately so you can avoid all this, because It's a 50-50 chance that this is going to get changed, and I honestly don't even think it's realistically that.
Wow.
Another story, yeah, I mean, it's sad. Rob, another story I want to kind of talk about is the Army National Guard, and they had a headline in the military.com article about that the Army National Guard is patting themselves on the back that they are almost done with the backlog of incentives for service members reenlisting through the National Guard. And what's important to note is that in January 2024, they reported, the Army National Guard, that is, that about 56,000 soldiers did not get incentives that they were due, and it had been over a year, and that there had been a backlog for those 56,000 soldiers. Some of these bonuses were up to 20 grand. All right? Now they're patting themselves on the back here about 15 months later that they're down to 13,000 soldiers. And they're like, look, we've gotten this huge portion of the backlog reduced. I have a couple points to make on this. One, the fact that it wasn't ever, you know, handled correctly in the first place does not mean you should be patting yourselves on the back that you're almost done with it. Okay. This is the ridiculousness that only happens in like the government. And I'll be honest with you, the military pay system is especially bad at this. So I talk to people about this all the time on social media. And Rob, we've done different pieces about people on your show. We've done different pieces about people who are wrongfully mistreated with our pay, with bonuses, with all sorts of things that have happened in the military. And I don't think it's ill-willed. But when it's 56,000, a lot like this ballot stuff that you were talking about, at one point, is it just incompetence? And we need to reevaluate the systems that are in place. Because if they can't catch simple things like this, like that it's taking over a year to get an incentive military paid, this is ridiculous. Some of these service members, they're actually going to be up for reenlistment here in another year, and they may still not have received the pay that happened 2-3 years ago when they got their last incentive pay directed, but not paid. So that's not good.
And this 56,000 soldiers in the Army National Guard, these are people who need that bonus more than anyone. I mean, they're signing on to serve our military with the expectation that the government made a promise to them that, hey, you sign on, here's a bonus that we're going to give you. They're looking at that, and they're like, all right, maybe I could pay off some student loans. Maybe I can, you know, help my family out. Maybe I can, you know, survive because I'm getting such little pay on the rate or rank I am. And to have it go on that long, and then for them to brag about when they're still 25% behind, that it's a good thing. I think you hit the nail on the head. That's saying this is not something you should be patting yourself on the back for.
Yeah, and I always make this point when it comes to payroll personnel, their pay is never messed up. And I always make this other point where if you want to fix this is real simple. Make it that no officers get paid who are 06 and above until this is fixed. And I guarantee you, it would be done really quickly. Guarantee it. You can fix it really simply. And then talking about fixes, let's talk about Secretary of Defense's order for restoring good order and discipline through balanced accountability. And he simply
the Don't Walk on Eggshells Act.
Absolutely. No sooner than he put out that video, Rob, I had a million people on my social media giving, again, more misinformation, stating things like, see, he's getting rid of EEOC, which is equal opportunity, that he's going to remove and cause people to get raped, and all these things that this is going to just destroy the process, and whistleblowers are no longer safe. That is not what this order does. What this order does is for the people who are misusing that policy, they are going to restore order, meaning that they should now too be punished when they are proven to be liars. And people then immediately came back at me and said, Tommy, that never happens. You're not listening to the victims. I said, hang on. Let me tell you all a story that I covered on your show, Rob. Army Colonel John Meredith, who was in charge of the 3rd Armor Corps for the United States Army, a West Point grad, an astute officer, already recommended for promotion on the list. Everything was going great for this gentleman until he decided to give a not-so-great fitness report, which is an evaluation for officers, to one of his officers. And what transpired is that officer, in order to avoid that and to ensure that he got promoted, went and conspired with his wife to create a story that he had sexually harassed, groped, and all these other things his wife. Now, what they did was they called him over, the wife did, and said, hey, come over. Bob's acting strange. I need you to talk to him. And when he went over to see him, she then said, well, that's when it happened, that he groped her, kissed her, all these things. The Army pressed charges upon him. They investigated it. They pressed charges about him. But the prosecutors at Army CID, who are their investigative services, their version of the FBI or NCIS, for those of you who follow that on TV, also as incompetent as the FBI and NCIS. They went ahead and prosecuted this gentleman and his wife for standing up for him and removed them from command, ruined his career, all these things. And then it turns out that they knew all along that the wife and the husband who made these allegations had text messages saying that they would make this up. They had the whole the whole thing was in cahoots with each other.
It was all in retaliation to a poor Fit rep.
And by the way, the Fit rep had actually not even come out yet. That's something that is new. He was just concerned that the Fit rep was going to come out.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be glowing. It would just be, you know, average. And that's why they did it. And this individual was relieved of command. His wife was relieved of command. They're never going to get new commands. It's always going to be on their record that their command was removed from them. Their promotions have been withheld. And effectively, their careers as colonels, as officers, in the United States Army are over. They're effectively over. They're not going to be in charge of personnel. And these could be potentially good leaders who have now been removed. And it's cleared up, so they're not going to jail, but their careers are over. The individuals who did this, there is no punishment for them because they're protected by the Whistleblower Protection Act.
Even though it was proven that it was all made up.
Yep. They are protected. So what Secretary Hegseth is doing is actually restoring good order and discipline by making it balance. If you make something up, if you're lying, if you're colluding, if you're doing as these two individuals did, and by the way, I hate that their identities are protected by the media. Their name should be out there, just like Colonel Meredith was. They're going to go after you. You're going to face equal justice if you are lying. And I think that's a good thing because it does two things. One, it protects innocent people from being victimized by this policy. And two, it helps to ensure that we're actually protecting real whistleblowers and giving them the recognition and we're giving them the ability to come out and speak and not be retaliated against, because now we know there's an additional layer where they could look into these things. And I think that's important.
And you're lessening the chance of taking up the resources of NCIS or CIS or the FBI that could be investigating real true crimes or true stories or true abuses rather than chasing these wild goose chases that are found to be disproven.
And while none of the headlines will bring up those stories that are on these mainstream media articles that are criticizing Secretary Hegseth for this policy, I wanted to share that story because I think it's impactful and it's important to note when people are reading those headlines and thinking that, oh, listen, they got rid of whistleblower protection. That is not what is going on. Whistleblower protection still exists. But what is also going to exist, if you misuse it, if you're lying, if you're colluding, guess what? There will be punishment for that as well.
All right, Tommy. I appreciate you joining us this week. If they want to follow you, my listeners want to follow you, how can they do that?
You can always follow me at Tommy Marquez Consulting on all social media platforms.
All right, Tommy, again, I appreciate you joining us this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Did you catch this story? A self-proclaimed Hamas operative in the U.S. Air Force, indicted over pipe bomb plot. Says he's been a terrorist since he was a kid. Yeah, self-described Hamas operative who infiltrated the U.S. Air Force, once boasted that he's been a terrorist since he was a kid, was hit with additional charges this week alongside two Pittsburgh women after the feds foiled an apparent terror plot involving a pair of pipe bombs. Mohammed Hamed, 23, who was a dual citizenship in the U.S. and Lebanon, was already charged with defacing a synagogue, was hit Tuesday with a 9-count superseding indictment along with Taylor Lubit, 24, and Micaiah Collins, 22. Mohammed lied about his loyalty to the United States, among other false statements. He, in an attempt to obtain top-secret security clearance, acting U.S. attorney stated, joining the Air Force. During that time, he openly expressed support for Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Hamas. In addition to his previously charged role in defacing Jewish religious property, he's also conspired with others named in the superseding indictment to manufacture and detonate destructive devices. They were previously indicted for scrawling red anti-Zionist graffiti on the Squirrel Hill Synagogue, defacing Jewish Federation of the Greater Pittsburgh office building. Shortly after enlisting in the Pennsylvania Air National Guard, a reserve component of the Air Force, in June of 2023, Hamad, who lived in Coraopolis, Pennsylvania, privately messaged an associate in Ohio that it's still Palestine on top thought, make no mistakes, prosecutors allege. During his Air Force training, Hamad privately shared footage of Hamas violent attacks against Israel with an associate and wrote that us Muslims never surrender or back down, the indictment claimed. In December of 2023, Hamad completed the paperwork to obtain a top secret security clearance and later had three interviews and a background check with the Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency, during which he allegedly lied about his loyalty to the U.S. He's been a terrorist since I was a kid in Lebanon, Hamad wrote in a June 2023 Signal message to Collins alongside a photo of him as a child holding a gun. Around that time, Hamad and Collins conspired to develop destructive devices and detonate a prototype while musing over the damage it could do. The enemy within. They're here. Here's one from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, that got himself into the Air Force and thankfully was caught. But if you think there's one, how many more are there? How many more are there? It's concerning, to say the least. It's 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, three of our law enforcement made the ultimate sacrifice on this day. We're going to start with Patrolman John Joseph Moore, Wilkes-Barre Police Department, in 1943. Patrolman John Moore was accidentally shot and killed by another patrolman on East Market Street near Public Square. Patrolman Moore entered a local barbershop on his patrol beat when another patrolman took out his service weapon to show customers, and it accidentally discharged, striking Patrolman Moore in the head. He had served with the Wilkes-Barre Police Department for 37 years, was survived by his wife and three children. And that was 1943. Private Andrew Sapp, Pennsylvania State Police, in 1918, was shot by one of four robbery suspects as he and another officer approached their hideout in Tide shortly before midnight. They had robbed the participants of a card game at a nearby residence. As Private Zapp approached the back door of the home, he was shot in the chest from an ambush. He was rushed to the Indiana hospital, where he succumbed to his gunshot wound 5 hours later. All four suspects were arrested. And Patrolman Edward Ribzeman, Wilkes-Barre Police Department, in 1875. Patrolman Edward Ribzeman was shot and killed while assisting a constable at a Luzerne County sheriff. Deputies served eviction papers at a home that had just been sold at a sheriff's sale. The home was located in a settlement known as Polk Hollow in Larksville. The constable and deputy had requested assistance from the Wilkes-Barre Police Department after encountering resistance from the family in the home the previous day. The patrolman was sent with the officers to assist them in evicting the family. As the officers entered the yard, upon returning with the officer, the family attacked them again, started throwing items at them. When Patrolman Risbin attempted to arrest one of the female's family members, two of her brothers opened fire with shotguns from the second floor window, striking him in the head and killing him instantly. He had served with the Wilkes-Barre Police Department for 3 years. He was survived by his wife and several children. Again, this was 1875. And that's who we have today on and who we honor today, the three of those men. Two of them from Wilkes-Barre Police Department. Big time difference, though. And again, I want to reiterate when I started the show today to talk about what our law enforcement have been dealing with locally. If you just peruse the papers, you can see the danger that's out there. You could see the incidents that they respond to regardless of the danger. At the call of anyone, regardless of their background, regardless of their demographics, how much you make. Our law enforcement stand ready to put themselves between the danger and you at the drop of a simple phone call, at observing a crime. You know, anyone who lives in the Oliphant area saw firsthand when they were cordoning off areas and doing a grid search for the individual, a juvenile who was being cornered, who was unpredictable, armed. They knew he was armed and, you know, still put themselves in danger to make sure you were safe. So again, our thoughts go out to all the law enforcement, our first responders, our firefighters, both paid and volunteer, EMS workers, and everyone else, the 911 operators, our correction officers. It truly takes all of them to ensure our safety. It's coming up on 4:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's time for Today in History. Because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. On this, what's today? Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. So 1992, the Los Angeles riots begin. Following the acquittal of four LAPD officers charged in the videotape beating of Rodney King, widespread riots erupted in Los Angeles. The unrest lasted 6 days, resulting in over 60 deaths, thousands of injuries, and extensive property damage. That was 1992. 1945, liberation of the Dachau concentration camp. U.S. forces liberated the concentration camp in Germany, uncovering the horrors of the Nazi regime and freeing thousands of prisoners. 1974, Nixon releases Watergate transcripts. President Richard Nixon announced the release of edited transcript of White House tapes related to the Watergate scandal, a pivotal moment leading to his resignation. 2004, final Oldsmobile rolls off the line. The last Oldsmobile car was produced, marking the end of the 106-year-old American automotive brand. 2004, the final Oldsmobile rolls off the line. Some notable birthdays today. Not that he'll remember it, but Willie Nelson is 33. I'm sure he'll be celebrating and will have no recollection tomorrow of what's going on. Iconic country music singer-songwriter known for hits like On the Road Again. Jerry Seinfeld, 1954, comedian and actor best known for the sitcom Seinfeld. Uma Thurman, 1970, actress recognized for roles of films like Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill. Andre Agassi, 1970, same age. Former world number one tennis player and Olympic gold medalist. Some sports highlights for today. 1988. The Orioles end record losing streak. The Baltimore Orioles secured their first win of the season after a 0-21 start. Sounds like the NFL draft this past weekend. 151 start. What did he finally go in?
144.
Well, 0-144 start. So the Orioles got him beat. Something to celebrate in Baltimore. Defeating the Chicago White Sox 9-0, setting a Major League Baseball record for the longest losing streak to start a season. Either you got my sports guys in there. Has that been beaten yet? Has any baseball team beat the 0-21 start from the 1988 Baltimore Orioles?
That's a good question.
I would have to say the White Sox came close last year. I don't know if they beat them, but they had to have come close if they did not.
They were historically awful.
All right. Well, you guys have a homework assignment now. By the next break, let's find out if anyone has beaten that record yet. If not, we'll give it to Shador Sanders.
Shador Sanders.
0-145.
Yeah, Shador.
Hey, he might surprise us all. Who knows? But that's today in history. Also, because I don't think I have it on my schedule to talk about today, is this incident with the USS Truman. I know our news covered a little bit. USS Truman had an incident where an F-18 in its hangar bay. Now, the hangar bay is down below.
It's where they take the planes to fix them, to paint them, to do mechanical work on them. That can't be done topside. There's a big, huge elevator on the side that brings the entire plane. As a matter of fact, it could carry two planes down to the hangar bay, and it's moved into the hangar bay. And it was under the power of being connected to one of the carts that move planes. It's one of those low, you see at the airport all the time, they connect it to the front landing gear of the plane, and they move the plane around. Well, there's reports that the carrier was taking evasive maneuvers. And by evasive maneuvers, because of incoming fire from the Houthis. Now, this I've talked about this to you on multiple occasions. The our ships in the Red Sea have been taking daily fire from drones, ballistic missiles, and anti-surface missiles. None of them have struck their targets, but anytime one shot, these ships take evasive maneuvers and then shoot at the missile to take it down before it gets near them. That's just standard operating procedure. What you don't know, and it's public information, it's out there, you could search it for yourself, our aircraft carriers, as big as they are, and I don't know if you've ever seen a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, they're huge. They're 600 and something square yards of American might anywhere in the world. They are the fastest ship that we have. As big as it is, the power propulsion it has is literally the fastest ship we have. So if you didn't think that a ship that size could move rapidly and quickly and turn on a dime, you're wrong. They do. And you could go to YouTube, you can go to the internet and search aircraft carrier taking evasive maneuvers. And you'll be amazed at the pictures, be amazed at the power. It's said, and again, this is just out there in the public realm, it's said that an aircraft carrier can go so fast that it'll literally rip the tower off the deck of the aircraft carrier. That's how fast it can go because of the wind shear that would hit it. So it kind of gives you some perspective. So this ship, and this has been common, so it was a factor but not a cause. It was taking evasive maneuvers. They lost control of this plane that was being moved, and it fell out of the elevator into the water and sank. Yes, it's a $60 million aircraft. Yes, it's probably a few hundred thousand dollars, if not a more cart that pushed it. There was a maintenance mechanic on the aircraft that was able to jump to safety, and he is okay. He or she is okay, minor injuries. But that, in fact, has happened. This is the third mishap that the USS Truman has had happen. And by mishap, I say that loosely. They've had a plane shot down from one of their own ships, the USS Gettysburg. They have collided with a merchant vessel, and now this. So this is the third mishap that they are dealing with. They are hopefully towards the end of their cruise. It has been extended to an unknown period. But we have two battle groups there, and this was in the news recently. Of course, the terrorist Houthis are saying that they're responsible for the entire thing. They've also declared that they have sank the USS Truman 13 times. So you take that with a grain of salt, anything they say. So that's the news today. That's Today in History. It's 4:51 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Goodfeet store. I made the mistake last weekend. I was down in Annapolis, and I was wearing my dress shoes because I was going to a formal event for my daughter, and I made the mistake of not taking my inserts out of my normal shoes into the shoes that I was going to wear that day. So I went down there. I was wearing my dress shoes. And listen, these inserts pop right in from the Goodfeet store. You could switch them from shoe to shoe. I do have different sizes of inserts I use. There's a trainer, there's a comfort, and there's like your everyday that you wear. I made the mistake of not bringing any of them. So I was walking on my flat feet, and within a day, I had the arch pain. I had the heel pain, the pain up my legs, and everything that went along with it. I truly regretted it. There's nothing I could do. I was out of town. But I am surely not going to make that mistake again. The Goodfeet store located in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. You just walk in and take your free test walk. You can contact. There's no waiting. They're made in the USA. And I'm telling you, just one day not wearing them, walking on cobblestone Annapolis streets in Maryland, I paid the price. So if you want to feel better, visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Goodfeet.
Come on, does anybody believe that Willie Nelson knows where he is right now, what state he's in on many levels, or what he's doing? Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It is Willie Nelson's birthday today. How are you guys doing with that homework assignment? Anyone beat that record yet?
Yeah, so I took one look here, Rob, and the closest that anyone came to it was the 1997 Chicago Cubs. They lost 14 in a row to start the season. Atlanta Braves, they lost 7 in a row to start this season, but they're 13-15 right now.
So 0-21 from the 1988 Baltimore Orioles.
Wild.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the, what was that, the movie with the Cleveland Indians?
Major League.
Major League.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
That's funny. Hey, who knows?
The Baltimore Orioles.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are so bad, maybe they'll start off the season next year like 0-22.
Yep, it's going to be interesting to see. When's camp start for the football teams? When do they have to report?
That's going to be the end of July, probably. I normally go to the Steelers camp, and I remember they hold theirs end of July. So
I'm not going for at least 3 more years.
I don't blame you.
I'm not going for. Doesn't Tomlin have a restraining order against you, Jake?
He's got to. He has to. He's got to.
I think that would be good. Good recommendation for the team. Sports is just at a different anomaly now. Between this Bill Belichick interview with his girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness.
Butting in and doing what she's doing and not realizing that, you know, when you're in an interview, they film the whole time, not just when they're asking questions. So, you know, she's all upset that that's out there now. And Bill's living his best life. He just don't care.
Yeah,
he's like, listen, I'm going to coach college football. I'm going to go home to a college girl, and
she left the interview for 30 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, so. I just watching the things that are going, and then the whole thing with this draft and everything that's going on in regards to that. It's going to be interesting because you know, you could see these young recruits who have just been drafted. Some of them acting the fool, some of them not. Something actually being guided properly. It's going to be interesting. You know, was there already requests that Dion be at some meetings or be at stuff?
Give it time.
Yeah.
No. But you know what I heard, Rob? I heard already that Shador, if he doesn't make it through camp, might go and consider going to the CFL, going to Canadian football, because other teams do not want him. I read that this afternoon. I damn near fell out of my chair.
There were reports that teams actually took his name off their board.
Yes.
During the draft, it was like, I don't care what round it is, I don't care where it is. And listen, he just doesn't have the temperament or mentality, regardless of whatever talent he may or may have, and that has yet to be seen at the professional level.
Right.
He does not have the mentality of a backup or someone who needs to fight for a spot. Mm-hmm. Quarterback. He is going to throw temper tantrums. Listen, these guys who have been on, these linemen and these men on the team that have been there for 8, 9, 10 years struggling and fighting and are in pain every day aren't going to put up with his nonsense. They're just literally going to flatten this guy. I was at the Jets camp one year when it was the year that both Tebow was there and Sanchez were there. They were both there side by side fighting for a spot to lead the Jets. And I saw one of the largest, most aggressive, violent fights I've ever seen between the offense and defense at that one I was at. Mm-hmm. They were literally going at it to kill each other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how passionate these camps get. That's how the emotions run high, especially when you have young guys or even older guys who are looking to be replaced and fighting for positions. They don't take that nonsense well. And, you know, someone like him who weighs what? A 180, maybe?
Right. No, and I think that's really true, because you know what? It's even like in a workplace, like a guy or a bunch of people who have been in a workplace and have been there since the ground up and maybe 20, 25, 30 years, and then some rookie comes in that just got out of college and goes, I know what I'm talking about, and you don't. You're not going to take that. Like, you're like, no, kid, you got to pay your dues like everybody else. My word of warning, because I cover high school and I see a lot of kids out of high school around here are very nice and quiet, but some other areas, they're all this and that. They ruin your. You can ruin your career. That's all I will say.
Yep. And we talked about that from the start. Watch your social media. Watch what you put out there in public. It'll come back to haunt you. 5 o'clock here at WILK.